It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Tonight's the night the NFL returns, and we are taking you up to 610, getting you in the football mood on Grant and Danny. The exclusive sponsor of this show is our pals, the law firm over at Condori and Murad. They'll guide you and your family in the right direction by helping you to draft a will, set up a trust, or create a healthcare power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that we sent you so you can get a discount, kmlawyers.com. They are local guys. Lake Braddock High School, George Mason University, huge D.C. sports fans we are going to be traveling with over the course of the months ahead. They're good hang. They are fun. We went to a Caps game with them. We watched Nick Dowd get into a fist fight right in front of our eyes. It was a really good time.
I forgot about the Doubter ham throwing.
I'll never forget about that fight. It was right
that
after
was nuts.
Nick Jensen got laid out and just about killed. And so Doubter was one of his buddies. Just said
he was on the ice and you could hear the
somebody will pay.
Yeah.
That was a good time. But go check him out. KMLawyers.com. It is time for our Beltway Blitz. The NFL, the Commanders on deck and in the hole on a football day here on G&D. Let's start, though, with the latest on the diamond with the Nationals. The longtime voice of the Nationals, in fact, since day one in the nation's capital, our guy, Charlie Slows. Charlie, Mackenzie Gore looked like an ace last night. One hit over six innings. He had the good stuff going.
Yeah, that's three starts in a row. So after making the adjustment with the arm slot, his command has been really good. His stuff has been good. It's a shame he didn't get a better result. But six innings, one run, one hit, nine strikeouts and a walk. You'd almost take that every time out.
What's the difference when it's going good for him versus when it's not, Charlie?
Well, I mean, he's very efficient pitch count. Earlier in the year when he struggles, walks were up. I think he lost confidence. He just couldn't figure it out. Now he's also throwing a changeup more. That's made a big difference because when you add that to his big fastball and his breaking ball, and really the hitters aren't figuring it out. He's been very effective. And, I think, you look at what Patrick Corbin's done pitching right before him, same thing, using a changeup more and a slower curveball. And that's the difference. When you are not as predictable and you can command those pitches, you can have success. And both of them are doing that right now.
C.J. Abrams has really scuffled, hitting a little over 160 since early July when he became an all-star. I don't think he's in as bad of a funk necessarily as he was at one point early in the year where he was just swinging at everything, but he's closer to that than doing the right things at the plate. What are you seeing?
Yeah, I mean, he just hasn't been able to figure it out and get on any kind of consistent roll. We thought, a week or so ago, we put a few hits together. We thought we might see him come out of it. He's struggling against left-handed pitchers, and he's been indecisive, a lot of check swings, weak contact, and so he's not in there tonight. They're facing a soft-tossing left-hander in Bailey Falter, and so Nathan Nunez is going to get another start against a left-handed pitcher and the bat ninth in the order, and Nassim's had a couple of good games, two-hit game. Last game he started, drove in his first run, And, you know, you don't lose anything defensively with him out there. Maybe you even gain with the great range and terrific arm that he has. He's fun to watch.
I've been pretty impressed. The numbers aren't unbelievable. It's a really short, small sample here for Chaparro. But just like his presence at the plate, Charlie, looks hitterish to me. I like the passes that he takes and, you know, sort of spitting on some close things. They may have found something here with this guy in the lineup. I don't know if he's a first division, you know, middle of the order bat or something like that. But he seems to look the part here. What are your thoughts?
Well, most likely a designated hitter, you know, if you're fielding your best defensive team. And the Nationals need power from the DH spot. They have 12 home runs combined for anyone who's been the DH this year. And, you know, it's by nature the name of a designated hitter, you'd hope you get more power than that. And he swings big. He doesn't get cheated on swings. He had 19 home runs at AAA, Reno, and then four after he came over to Rochester, a couple now in the big league. So, you know, he's a potential power bat that they're looking at to see what you have if you think he can be on your big league team for next year, after acquiring him in the trade for Dylan Floro from Arizona.
Couple of doubles for James Wood, going back to the win in the Marlins series. He's been so clutch with runners in scoring position. RBI pace at one point going into the week was well over 100 for him. Doing that on a bad team that doesn't score a lot is pretty stunning for a young guy. What have you made of his approach when he's got a chance to deliver runs?
Well, he's just looking for a pitch he can drive. That was a big double in last night's game in a 3-run eighth inning that gave them the lead. Unfortunately, they couldn't hold it, eventually lost the game in 10 innings. But you like what you saw. He doesn't try to do too much. Sometimes you're watching him, you think maybe he's a little too patient and you wish he'd take more hacks. But, you know, he's trying to only swing at pitches that are strikes and not chase. And for a very young player at 21 years old, you know, that's really incredible to watch.
I like Jose Tena. I think I really like him, Charlie. He's the kind of guy that feels, you know, can do a little something of everything. Not maybe thrive in any one way. He's not great defensively. Doesn't have a ton of power. But it's a little bit of a Swiss Army knife type action. I think he's got a place here.
He's got a short swing and looks to get the ball up the middle. So I like what I've seen of him at the plate. Right now he's 0 for his last 13. But, you know, right now he's been in there every day against righties and lefties. So he's held his own. Third base is a relatively new position for him. So we've seen some struggles there on fielding some balls and definitely, you know, with some throws that he's bounced. When Joey Gallo's there, he helps save some throws. Mm-hmm. Anybody else playing over there, you really got to make a good throw. So, you know, that's where they've suffered a little bit. You know, we got spoiled when Lipscomb was there at third. He plays gold glove caliber defense, and unfortunately he didn't hit enough to stay in the big league. So we'll see. I mean, everybody still thinks Brady House is the third baseman of the future. What they do with Jose Tena, who had mostly been a second baseman in his career in the minor leagues so far. So it remains to be seen where he will end up playing if he has a regular spot. Because, you know, Garcia seems to have trenched himself at second base. So where his position is, who knows? But you're finding yourself with more depth in your organization.
Tana can swing it for sure. House, by the way, 19 home runs, leads all of the Nets. Top prospects down in the minor leagues this year. Charlie, before we let you go, who's your NFL team? Do you watch any football in the fall?
I watch a bunch of different teams. I grew up in New York. This is way before you guys. This is when your local team's home games were all blacked out. It didn't even matter if they sold out.
Yep.
That was before the NFL changed that rule. So you only saw your home team a few games a year. Back when it was 14 games, you saw 7 games if you didn't go to a game. So you ended up seeing a lot of NFC West games in New York, the late games, because those were the games you were getting. So I was watching the LA Rams when they had Roman Gabriel as their quarterback in the early to mid-70s. So I actually became an LA Rams fan because of that.
Oh, look at you. Would not have had that in the office pool. By the way, that makes no sense. I don't even know what the strategy behind that
was. Times
were
different, man.
That is strange. Charlie, thank you. Yep. We appreciate you.
You got it.
Be good. Let's talk football and bring on our guy Mike Jones. Covers the National Football League for The Athletic. We'll keep the blitz moving. Mike, who do you got tonight? Chiefs hosting the Ravens as we kick this NFL season off.
I've got the Chiefs, man. I think it's going to be another really close game, but I feel like the Chiefs are going to come out of here. You know, they're going to try to start their three-peat quest with an authoritative win. And, you know, obviously two really good teams. They've made changes in the offseason to further strengthen them, but I think the Chiefs pull this one out again.
Are people overlooking the Ravens? because that division is so good, and you know, there's all this talk about Burrow being back, and like it feels boring, but that's kind of what they are. They're boring. They're always really good. Are people looking past them a little bit?
I don't think you're looking past them. Every time I ask people, okay, like who is the threat to the Chiefs? Every team personnel guy or coach that I ask mentions the Ravens as one of those teams. But it might just take a little bit of time for them. They've got, you know, a new defensive coordinator. They've got a few new pieces on the back end of their defense. Obviously, they've got Derrick Henry, which should help ease some pressure on Lamar Jackson. They've got some changes on their offensive line. So, you know, I think that those changes will pay off for them, and they'll be more balanced and more well-rounded. Maybe ease a little pressure on Lamar. I think he could have a little bit of a better season passing as he's got another year in this offense, and their wide receivers, particularly Zay Flowers, has another year of experience under his belt. So I don't think they're being overlooked by anybody in the league.
How about some Friday night lights in Brazil? How about the Packers and the Eagles? What do you think tomorrow?
You know, I keep going back and forth on that game. I think, though, that maybe we're going to see the Packers pull that one out. Obviously, the travel is a big factor for both of those teams, long flights and everything. But there's a little bit more continuity with the Packers. They're hoping to build off of that hot streak they finished the season on, while the Eagles have a new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator, you know, changes in their secondary. So, again, you can never really totally pass judgment on what a team is until about four games into the season, but it just might take a little bit for them to work out some kinks there, and so I'm going to go Packers.
You alluded to this earlier, Mike, but who in your mind is the biggest threat to the Chiefs in the three-peat in the AFC?
In the AFC, I think it's between the Ravens and the Bengals. I think both of those teams, obviously, look, if the Ravens had have stuck with their bread and butter, they might have won that AFC championship game. They only attempted 8 rushing plays. They turned the ball over. So they're built, and they're built better this year to be able to go toe-to-toe. The Bengals are built to go toe-to-toe. They've got some improvements on defense as well. And, you know, they've got to get Jamar Chase taken care of. But I think those are the two teams that the Chiefs have to be worried about the most.
I just saw that Russell Wilson was dealing with a bit of a calf issue again today. Is there any risk that he wouldn't play against the Falcons on Sunday?
Well, we got to see how much, you know, I don't know right now. We don't know exactly if it's just a precaution because it was a little sore and they want him ready. I kind of wouldn't be surprised if this is something that's a little bit of a setback. Look, he's you know, an aging quarterback. They would like to have him as their starter, but you never know. Some of those nagging injuries keep popping up for older guys, and they're hard to recover from. And so we'll see. We might see Justin Fields out there.
Where are you on the Rams this season?
I think they'll be improved. I don't know as far as the durability of Matthew Stafford. He's had some injuries in recent years, and we don't know, you know, what his health will be like. But if they can stay healthy, I think they're back in the picture. I'm not saying they're Super Bowl favorites or anything like that, but I think that they are kind of retooled a little bit on the fly, and they should be better than what they were last year. They kind of got that ugly season out of the way, and then last year they took steps forward. I think they'll take some more steps forward this year.
Are you a Jets believer, or are they pretenders?
They're pretenders. They're a circus. There's always something that's going wrong. You just feel like they're like a ticking time bomb. I'm not convinced that Aaron Rodgers will stay healthy this whole year. They tried to address some weaknesses on the offensive line. They did it with aging guys, so we'll see if they can stay healthy. They don't have their top pass rusher that they acquired via trade because he wants more money. So it just feels like this thing, it looks good, it sounds good, but it's just not really going to come through for them.
Jonesy, good catching up, buddy. Enjoy the start of the season.
All right, thanks, guys.
See you, bud.
Now let's keep the blitz going. Football Convo gets localized now with our guy Earl Forsey, who I saw make the announcement earlier today that he is back for game days on 106.7 The Fan. So as you are making your way, if you're going early, the tailgate over to the Fed in Landover, Maryland, you will hear Earl Forsey early on Sundays, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., Burgundy and Gold game day on 106.7 The Fan. Earl, I've told you this before. Your dulcet pipes, bro. That's football to me. That's a fall, autumn Sunday. Getting me ready for the then Redskins and Clinton Portis and LeVar Arrington. I'm fired up. Let's do this thing.
Boy, that goes back, huh? Thank you. I appreciate it. Look, and I get a lot of a good response from it. You know, for someone who grew up here listening to Johnny Holiday do the old pregame on WMAL, and I go back to the, you know, the early 70 team. So a guy named Steve Gomartin was doing the play-by-play back then. So it's kind of humbling because I've been doing this for a while. Look, I was part of on the ground floor when the games moved from MAL to TEM, our early days on Sports Talk 570 back then. And then when we transitioned to WJFK, I was part of it. So it's nice. I mean, it's been a while. I appreciate all the support and, you know, that folks kind of embrace what I do, which is, you know, talk football and love DC sports and specifically the Commanders. So, yeah, it's fun to be back, and we'll be at it again Sunday before you know it. Look, this season, I know there's no question. I'll get right to it. Eight different starting quarterbacks under the Riverboat. So we're at, what, 35 starting quarterbacks now since 91, 92? Unbelievable. Do you know this eight starting quarterbacks in a row to start the season? That's a new NFL record. Good job, Ron. Seven in a row, Indianapolis. That streak for them ends this season. So it's going to be eight different starting quarterbacks for each season. You know, going back to Kirk Cousins back in, what was it, 2017? And it's a list of, you know, some pretty average names. Case Keenum, Ryan Fitzpatrick, who barely played. So just, it's great to have, it seems, the answer to quarterback in D.C. We'll know for sure. And I think, not trying to put too much pressure on Jaden Daniels, but let's go back to the other rookie, 2012, RG3. That coming out party in New Orleans for him, you kind of knew right away that that guy was special. And, you know, he was until the knee injury. It was a fleeting moment there, but had the big game. I'm not saying that Jaden Daniels necessarily needs that, but it would be nice if he hits a field, throws for a couple of touchdowns, they win a game, and you're like, okay, let's go. And maybe that's going to happen this weekend.
What's success look like to you this year?
That's a great question. Does anybody really know? Success would be, how about, you know, and we couldn't get past that this week. How about week one without an off-the-field story? Huh? Okay, we can try next year for that. Can we please get rid of everything that had to do with the old regime? Please? I've been saying that for months, and you still have problems with it. Just clean house. Exterminate the place. I don't know what you have to do. Just get rid of it. Anyway, that would be nice. That's not going to happen. What success, Danny? It would be, you know, feel good about the team. You know, no, none of these, I don't think we're going to have any from the new people in place, but none of these non-football stories. You know what's a good story to start the year? Sam Cosmi. And last year, countdown to kickoff, you know, it became a Ron bashing final half of the season. And I told my wife at one point, because I do the show at home, I said, you know, I kind of almost feel bad because I guess this show, and I looking back, I was like, 2 hours, I just basically bash Ron. She's like, you feel bad for? I was like, oh, yeah, you're right. I forgot. No, I don't. because it was, from a football standpoint, it was well-deserved, right? He destroyed a lot. What little was left of the team, he left it in worse shape. I mean, much worse shape 4 years later than he found it. And they stunk when he found it, when he took over. So, and this regime obviously hated everybody that was existing. They got rid of them, everybody pretty much from the old regime as quick as they could. But they love Sam. How much do they love Sam Cosmi? He's a leftover. He should be one of those guys. It's Ron's mainly, probably his only success story, right? Last year, he said that yesterday in the press conference. I go into Ron's office. We're going to move you to guard, okay? It worked. It unlocked something with that dude who's become kind of what you would hope in that Brandon Scherff was and really was until, you know, he left for Jacksonville. He's Brandon Scherff that wants to be here. And, you know, you heard some of the presser. I don't know how much you heard yesterday. We'll play some Sunday morning. But he's like, you know, this, I don't feel like I've accomplished anything. This to me, and you know, Cosmi's the paraphrase, it makes me want to work harder. In 1 year transitioning to guard, he has become a top five guard in the NFL, arguably. Guy, so that's a huge success story. I'll give credit where credit's due, and there's not much of it. Ron, you know, they made that work. And that's one of the draft picks. I can't name a second one, but that's one of them that they hit on. And he's going to be a foundational piece on this team. And, you know, it's a good story to start the year. And, boy, you need it with a young quarterback. You've got a rookie at left tackle. So you better hope there's some stability there. And probably Cosmi is part of it. And that's a good story to start the year and a good thing for him and the team that they recognized that even though he was a leftover, that he's a big part of it. And again, maybe that's one of the, you know, they talk about we want commanders. They were talking about this, Adam Peters and Dan Quinn. Maybe Cosmi is one of those first steps, holdover guys. He is what they want in a commander. And, you know, they've got him locked up, which is good.
9 a.m. Sunday for Earl Forsey. Hey, there's a gleam, quickly, you man. Know, there's,
oh,
a gleam.
There's a gleam. There, where else would you rather be than right here, right now? I know Danny's a gamer. I was a little late connecting today because I have recently, and I mean in the last few days, Danny, discovered mobile games on the iPad using a controller. So I'm a big COD guy.
Yeah,
and I was just dropping in Verdansk like the last hour or two.
On the iPad.
Look at Earl.
On the iPad.
So do you Bluetooth the controller? What do you use? You're rocking an Xbox? What are you doing?
Honestly, forget about the computer and the Xbox and the PS5. Now, this is unbelievably
good. What controller are you using? Version. Yeah, what are you using as a controller?
I use a PS5.
PS5 controller.
Like, you know, you could hook a PS5 controller, you know, Bluetooth controller to that. And I was like, well, how about your PS5 controller? He goes, oh, okay. And he hooked it up. You can change all the settings, kind of like what I like, different buttons select. Mm-hmm. It's Bo Jackson and Tecmo Bowl is what it is.
Wow.
I mean, I'm dominating games and I shouldn't be, and it's kind of a cheat code, but I don't care. I'm winning.
Yeah, you got inverse flight control. You can't have your y-axis be up, goes up, down, goes down. That's ridiculous. That's amateur hour.
It's an unbelievable game changer, which I just found out about this week. I may be a little late to the party, but it's amazingly good. And you know, those games always are kind of, they're not, there's not a lot of stability sometimes. There's a lot of getting kicked out. None of it. It's just beautiful.
You don't get kicked.
It looks great. It plays well. And I'm murking dudes all over the place. It's wonderful.
I love it. So, Earl, dust off that Fat Boy Slim right here, right now.
Yeah.
Let's get this thing going. Dust off that Baltimore is a dirty, ugly city. Whatever other sound clips you were playing. And let's do this thing. There's Earl Forsey on our Beltway Blitz. Grant and Danny with you on the Fan. The guy behind the documentary that followed Jaden Daniels around at LSU last year joins us at 5. Speaking of Daniels, let's talk about his rookie season next.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I
feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here, and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Before we talk about the NIL LSU documentary and Jaden Daniels as the star of the doc, great access to him, following him around all year. I think we'll get good intel on the Commanders' new quarterback. Let's dive into Jaden Daniels' rookie season. What does Daniels have to do this year for you to feel like he's the guy at the end of 17 games? Could be statistics, numbers. I don't think it should be, but maybe that's how you're going to do it. Could be what he looks like. Could be just staying healthy. What's your answer to that? At the end of this season, 17 games from now, What's it going to take for you to feel like Washington has their answer in Jaden Daniels and not to still be skeptical, not to still need to see more, not to go into next season as a make or break? Let's figure this out in 2025. We'll open up the phones on this. 800-636-1067, MGM National Harbor Listener Lines, 800-636-1067.
So the simple word for me is health, but there's a lot that goes into that. And here's what that entails. That's sliding in the secondary. When you've made the big gain, you're making the play, and you've got a chance for a first down or whatever, you get down, you get out of harm's way. It means you don't hold on to the ball to do that hero play like Sam Howell was doing early on last season where he got crunched and knocked even in week number one. When the play's dead, you throw it away. It means you stay out of trouble as much as possible. The hits are going to come. It's the NFL. You're going to be hit as the quarterback of a football team, whether you're good, bad, or indifferent. The great ones get hit. The bad ones get hit more. You avoid the unnecessary ones. If he shows the ability to do that, I think that's going to go an awfully long way to sort of relieve that huge amount of anxiety I have about him and his frame and the proclivity to take too many hits unnecessarily. To me, if he's able to get through this year without taking those extra ones that don't necessarily knock you out every time, right? You could take some of those bad hits and bounce right back up and be fine until you're not. That's a huge thing for me. It's about that process of him staying healthy.
So that's on my list, but it's not at the top of my list. I'll move that one to number three, and we'll get to that in a second. Number one, for Jaden Daniels to prove to me this season over the next 18 weeks and 17 games that he's the guy, I need him to prove that he can move in the pocket. I need him to process and get the ball out. I need him to not make life harder on Washington's offensive line. And this goes to the pressure, sack percentage, things that we talked about quite a bit in ad nauseum before the draft. I need him to show that he's not going to turn pressures into sacks and that that's not going to be a bugaboo. The reason that was such a talking point that it became annoying to people, especially those that were big Daniels backers prior to the draft, was because anybody who looked at the numbers saw this was an alarming rate. And there are examples, very rarely, but there are examples of guys who have left those problems behind them in college and improved, but it's rare. More often than not, if you have that issue in college, you end up having that issue in the NFL. So that's the first thing I'm going to be monitoring very closely. The second thing is, another thing that I had as a question mark coming out of LSU, is he throwing well in the middle of the field and executing the NFL passing concepts on in-breakers that I think are pertinent? We didn't see that in college. We saw like 95% of the stuff you need to be able to do at quarterback done at LSU and at a really high level, a special, elite, upper echelon, all-time, Heisman, Hall of Fame in college type level. But there were a few things we didn't, like those in-breaking things, middle of the field, majoring in those, fitting the ball into small windows. I'll be monitoring that this year when he gets the opportunities to do that. And then the third thing is the decision-making in the open field as it pertains to taking hits, opting out of decleating moments, not putting himself in any more risk than he'll already be in with his frame, being as slender as anybody at his height in history, basically, at the position, to go on to have a strong career. Because you already know, Danny, you're going to get folded up at times in the pocket.
It's the league, man.
You're going to get landed on by some giant. Has anyone seen that dude at the University of Florida, by the way? Who's like 463 pounds?
You mean the two guys that are masquerading as one somehow?
That's the biggest dude I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, that guy landing on you will ruin your afternoon. Imagine just Jaden Daniels on his side and that guy falling on him. That's petrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's not in the league yet. He's at Florida, luckily. But there are big dudes, Gilbert Brown-like dudes, that are just waiting to fall on you and break your collarbone. So the pocket's scary enough. I need the decisions that he makes outside of the pocket to be made correctly. So those are going to be my things I'm tracking. And if he can find me some wins in those categories, I'll know he's the dude. Because the rest of it, he's already proven he can do. And now it's about coaching, bringing it out. This was Booger McFarland, covers college and pro football for ESPN. On the show yesterday, we did an outstanding interview with Boog. This is what he had to say about Daniels as a rookie.
Anytime you start a rookie quarterback, there are going to be ups and downs. I think of all the rookie quarterbacks, I think he is in not the best position, but I think he'll play the best. I think his demeanor, his poise, his maturity, he's got some decent weapons up there, as you guys know, led by Terry McLaurin. But overall, I think he's going to bring a different dynamic to that team. And from everything that I can hear, the leadership, how guys are already following him, I truly think the Commanders are going to be pretty good. I think there's a reason for optimism in D.C.
So the only thing I disagree with in Booger's statement right there is the weaponry and the all the excellence in the passing game. McLaurin, yes, there's a lot of uncertainty elsewhere. I think they're trying to take things off his plate, right? By smash mouth a little bit, run a little bit, going short and try to get some yards after the catch a little bit. But I don't know how prolific it's going to be. But the rest of it, I agree with the positive sentimentality.
Let's go to Tony in Fairfax on Grant and Danny. Tony, the question is, what does Jaden Daniels have to accomplish in this rookie season for you to feel like he is the guy at the end of the year?
Man, you stole my thunder. I put number one, the intelligence, keep myself in the game moves. The slides, not taking unnecessary hits. And number two is game and clock management. I know that, that's a negative term to a lot of quarterbacks, game management. But it's very important. If he's got delay of games, he's not getting up to the line. And then the third, I was pretty simple. He's got to hit the receivers that are open that he's supposed to make. Make the throws you're supposed to make. Those three baby steps to me are like the only thing I'm really going to be focusing on with Jaden Daniels.
I love the last one there, mm-hmm. Tony. That's a really good answer. Make your layups. The really good quarterbacks in this league, yeah, there's going to be those special moments, the spectacular wow play, but the really good ones at a very high clip, they hit their layups. They knock down bunnies.
It's such a good
miss because you can't the two, the three, the five, the 7 yard throws. You can't miss on the easy stuff. The other stuff's so hard. It's so difficult. When you get the gift of, hey, here's an open guy who can maybe get you a handful more after the catch, you got to take advantage of that. And especially as a young quarterback.
Yeah, my little six-year-old's learning to play basketball. You know what he wants to do is run as far away as possible. Half-court shot, three-point shot. I'm like, make a couple layups first. You'll be averaging 15 a game in your league in a minute or two. It's a good point.
JB Alexandria, you're on Grant and Danny. How are you?
Doing pretty good, guys. Started the NFL regular season today. Having a pretty good drive home. How's your guys' day going?
Let's do this thing. Man. Football, baby.
So, for Jaden Daniels, I have a more simplified version of what I'm looking for. Mine is just, I want to see a 3-to-1 turnover ratio, where I don't care how he gets the ball in the end zone, run it, throw it, whatever, but I want to see at least 3 scores to 1 turnover. That, to me, shows that he knows how to take care of the ball. Thanks, guys.
If that's your game manager, yeah. That's the rookie caretaker, not put a lot on his plate.
That's what made Griffin's first season so special to me.
Absolutely.
Obviously, the rookie rushing record there, but the only 5 turnovers or only 5 interceptions, few fumbles, but that's going to happen when you're carrying the ball as much as that and doing all the ball handling with all the play fakes, read option, and those kind of looks. So that sort of level is pretty incredible.
Griff was 4-to-1 touchdown to pick ratio. Yeah. We've seen Dak, CJ Stroud, among others, have that type of statistical first season protecting the football. We'll get to your calls. 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. What does Jaden Daniels have to do in this 17-game, 18-week season to prove he's the guy? Top of the hour, we'll talk to the documentarian who put together the film on Daniels and LSU with all the access he had for the NIL Collective documentary that he did last year. And we'll continue to make our season predictions as we get closer to kickoff. It is a football day. The NFL gets going tonight. You're listening to The Fan.
When you look at Jaden Daniels and his adversities that he's overcome, just like Jalen Hurts overcame adversity from getting sat at Alabama to going to Oklahoma to going on and being the quarterback he is, Jane came from Arizona State and everybody thought he was a third day pick going into last season. And then he ends up being the number two overall pick, well-deserved because of what he was able to accomplish. So, I'm sure they got a game plan in place, but coaches get paid a lot of money, too, to figure out what they have to do to make sure this quarterback's successful.
It is a football day on The Fan, and we do have an NFL game tonight. So I'll apologize in advance for some skits and bits here, but something very pressing has happened.
Bombshell might be too strong.
Bombshell's not too strong.
But it's something.
So there's been, behind the scenes, some sticky wicket situation happening where apparently, Cleary, you join me here for a moment to clear this up because you're on the producer chat, but Jeff, who produces the B. Mitch and Finley show, has been very angry because he's alleging that somebody stole food of his out of the refrigerator.
Yes, so this was right after the B. Mitch and Finley show. Jeff was very angry, just kind of running around after the show and was wondering where his seafood salad was. And
now, by his seafood salad, I'm assuming this is part of the gigantic spread, the biggest spread I've ever seen in the history of spreads, that the junkies got this morning to kick off the NFL season. So Jeff took a pile of food and put it away for himself in the fridge to take home.
Exactly, yeah. It was a side seafood salad that Jeff then put in the fridge and was expecting to take home to his mom, actually.
Okay.
And so, And then around 2:02, CK, our boss, sends an email out being like, hey, like, if there's food in the fridge, and he sent this out to the entire office, if there's food in the fridge, you should not be taking that. And if you took the seafood salad, then you should then return it to the refrigerator. And then right after that, Jeff texts our producer's group chat and goes, I also have Tom, our engineer, looking at the cameras for me, so whoever it was will get some words tomorrow or Friday. Which
and
is,
Jeff's actually upset.
Now, Jeff is legit mad.
Just super quick, respectfully, I believe the engineer working here at the radio station, the cluster of radio stations, might have more important things to do than look over security footage for leftover seafood salad from the Junkies food drop from this morning. And I'd just like to offer that.
But if I know Jeff, not according to him. Jeff's going to want him to work on whatever this big controversy is. So we're all wondering what happened with the pasta salad or whatever the hell it is.
The seafood salad. And I will say there are some new texts in the group chat. I mean, it is tough. It is really tough.
So Jeff's really upset about it.
Jeff is really upset. It is
So here's what's amazing. These guys are trying to crack the case in the studio. And in walks Chris Russell, who's now joining us. Check him out on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube camera. I'm going to spin it to you, Reenie, as Hello. You're now
there he is.
Under the eyes of Sauron. And we find out Russell ate his seafood salad out of the refrigerator.
No, untrue. I grabbed the tub of seafood salad, which did not have his name on it.
In the fridge.
That was from a catered food drop from Jumbo Lump Crab Cake Company in Manassas. Good product. Great product. They brought us food. Remember when you stole all my crab cakes 2 weeks ago?
No.
Yes.
It's not.
You stole
thing.
All my crab cakes. Anyway.
Wait a minute.
a restaurant brought in crab cakes for his show and our show is what he's referencing?
No, it was for my show.
I'm sure. And then they brought crab cakes over and gave them to us and we ate some crab cakes.
And took all of them and acted like there were none left and then eventually brought them back. But like 20 minutes
later.
Can
we get to the point?
Yeah.
There was food in the refrigerator
there was a tub
where people keep their food and you ate it.
Right. Hang on a second. I did not eat it. There was a tub of the seafood salad with the labeling for the restaurant, Jumbo Lump Crab Cake.
Okay.
No name on it, no tag, no paper, no nothing. Hey, this is Jeff's, this is Jeff's mama's, you know, whatever. Junkies do not eat, nothing. So I grabbed it. I forgot that I had brought in lunch. I grabbed it. I was going to have it for lunch. It was a catered food drop to the station, not to Jeff Walker.
There is a table. There are multiple tables here where the common area is.
It was delivered at like 8:30 in the morning. You're not going to leave seafood salad out until 2 in the afternoon.
Danny, I can't wrap my head around the logic that once it makes it into the fridge, he's going to pull it back out.
There is no law, no rule that says if it's in the fridge as opposed to on a counter, it's not fair game.
Yes, because there's never
It was not
once
privately wrapped. It was not put in a Ziploc bag or aluminum foil or in a lunch bag or anything else. It was not privately wrapped or identified in any way, shape, or form. If somebody doesn't want something ate or eaten, you label it. You say, this is Grant Paulson's wonton soup container.
But Danny, there's never any common food. There's never any shared food. There's never, as long as I've worked
What
here,
do you call a food drop? That is common no, shared
it's
food.
Out.
In the refrigerator.
When
it doesn't
out.
Matter. It doesn't matter.
Respectfully, it matters a lot.
Food is put in the refrigerator all the time
yeah,
from food drops.
Food that they're going to eat.
No, from food drops.
Never.
Yes. It's wrong.
It's in the kitchen area. It's out. It's in that little common area,
People
that little tiny
put,
table.
No.
It's out. If it's out, fair game.
If it's out,
fair game. If it's away,
game.
You have to take a second order effect to go into somewhere, remove it, and then serve yourself.
Shouldn't it
versus
be,
out.
Shouldn't it be labeled if it is put in the refrigerator, which it has to be because it's got mayonnaise and shrimp and whatever. You don't want that stuff sitting out for 6 hours.
You totally don't.
Shouldn't it be put in the refrigerator? Jeff Walker! No. I work here.
He's got to go find a Sharpie or some sort of labeling system.
Oh, I'm sorry
to
inconvenience him.
Well, he's working.
He doesn't work. He's never in the studio.
He probably assumed, like I would have, like Danny would have, and everyone else that works here, as soon as it goes into the refrigerator, it's off limits.
There is no law, no rule, no set of bylaws that says in the refrigerator versus out of the refrigerator.
I mean, it's common parlance. What is if we go to a restaurant for lunch and I put my leftovers in there, are you just going to go rip them out because they look tasty?
No. Because that's not a station food truck.
But if you open the fridge on a normal day and you just see food in there.
Right, it's not a station food truck. But that's the distinguishing factor.
By the way, CK sent out an email to everyone about not stealing people's food.
Yeah.
And he's now on the hotline listening
right now. That's great. That's awesome.
That's great.
Chris, I knew you were a weirdo. I knew you were an alien. I didn't know you were also a monster. This is unbelievable that you would do this.
No, this is ridiculous, CK.
He's claiming that it's the same as
it's a food drop. It's the same damn thing.
It's a food drop on the table outside the studio.
You can't keep this out for 6 hours.
The leftovers of a food drop go to the kitchen to one of the tables there. This was neither one of those things.
You can't keep it out for 6 hours, CK.
It wasn't, Chris, it doesn't matter whether you can keep it out for 6 hours or not. It wasn't yours. You took other.
It should have been labeled, do not eat. This is Jeff's. This is whatever.
You think you're the crab cake king now. You think you got a little endorsement deal or whatever, that you're the crab cake king, and you're not the crab cake king.
ChumboLumpCakes.com, CK.
I think that's what's so amazing, is if you've worked in radio for 1 hour, but before you learn what you can and can't say, how to tease to break. Chris, the first thing you learn is how food drops work. And when the food comes, there's a table.
There's a protocol.
It's up for grabs. When, to your point, occasionally it's been out on the table for a while. It gets moved into the other table in the kitchen where anyone in the whole building can grab it. I've never in my life, have you? You've worked in radio for almost 30 years. Have you ever heard of a common area food in the refrigerator?
It's never, ever, ever been done. No one has ever done what Chris did and then walked around like he did the right thing. It's unbelievable.
I put it back. Of course I did the right thing.
Where is it now?
As soon as I was made aware.
You put it back?
I put it back in the refrigerator.
Where was it?
It was in the refrigerator, and then it was with me for 5 minutes, and then I saw the note and everybody laughing like a bunch of stupid hyenas. In the history of radio, there's a rule. I bet you if you open up the Odyssey DC playbook, there ain't nothing about refrigerator versus counter in there.
Until there is, Odyssey
I don't
DC
want any blame.
What are you talking about?
Huh?
What Odyssey DC playbook are you talking about?
Well,
you
whatever. Rulebook, guidelines, whatever.
Yeah, to borrow from a few good men, people eat lunch every day and there's no rule about it in the Marines. Like, we figure it out. It's being a human being.
We are the crazy people, by the way.
I figured it out. I was apparently wrong. Apparently. And I put it back.
Before I took even
a spoon.
How long did you have?
I put a little pepper in it. That's it.
You added pepper?
Yeah. I thought it was for everybody. I'm sorry.
Hold on. So you thought it was for everyone and still added pepper?
Yes.
To the whole thing?
I put a package of pepper on the top of the seafood salad. And then all of a sudden I saw the email.
Oh, my God.
I thought I was right. I thought
Does
it was
everyone
well,
love pepper?
It was a
I hope
common
so.
Food drop.
No, no, no.
There was nobody's name on the damn product.
Obama
nobody's
style.
Name.
Let me
all
clear.
Of a sudden, the refrigerator's become like King Tut, and like
hang
we're
on,
gold mining
Wait
for
minute.
Food.
Wait a minute.
Let me be clear. You got it out of the fridge. You weren't gonna eat the whole thing, but you said, "Oh, this is for everyone."
No, I was gonna eat the whole thing.
You damn well better have your name on your lunch in there tomorrow, Chris, or I'm eating it.
That's why I keep
when
it in.
You put your giant salad in, you better have your name on it tomorrow.
That big beverage is mine.
You clowns are missing the point, and I see all the phone lines. Russell is right. Team Russell. I see all of you people. I appreciate all of you people. You guys are the wrong ones because it was a common food drop. There is a difference between me bringing a salad in that is clearly brought in from home that is clearly not for everyone versus Jumbo Lump Crab Cake Company bringing in a buffet spread for the junkies who ate everything, and then Jeff crying and whining about food that he didn't pay for that was taken and going to the damn boss. Why doesn't he do what he's supposed to do, do a podcast or something, instead of going crying and whining to the boss? You have other stuff to do, CK.
Chris, your salads could feed a Ruby Tuesday, so you better have your name on it tomorrow when you bring that in, okay?
Okay.
CK, we got to go or our program manager is going to be upset.
He does get annoyed.
Yeah, he likes to be on time.
Who's your program manager?
I botched it. It's okay. Brand manager,
oh,
I think.
Sorry.
Senior brand manager of development and innovation.
Yeah, all things Odyssey. Rini, you're on the hot seat, and I'm normally Team Russell. I can't help you today.
There's a lot of Russell is right. Team Russell's on there, I'm just telling you.
A lot of food
I think you should take those calls.
When food's in the refrigerator and you didn't put it there, you can't eat it.
And you can't season it for everyone else.
I'm going to look.
That's the best part.
I didn't season it. I seasoned it for me.
The
for
guy
me.
Who made the documentary on LSU NIL who followed Jaden Daniels around last year. A lot of access to the quarterback. We're all looking to save the Commanders. Joins us next on The Fan.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.